Well, today's sermon is entitled, Forgotten Faith, How Can It Be? And I know it sounds strange to think about forgotten faith. How can you forget your faith? Well, I'm going to tell you all right now, it's a whole lot easier than any of us think. And it has happened to every one of us sitting in this room. Within the last week. How can I say that? Because we are people. And we still have that sin nature in us because we're still in this flesh. The day will come when He will set us free from this flesh and give us a new body and give us a new being. And in that, we will sin no more. We will never sin again. And we will never forget our faith. For our minds will be renewed completely and totally. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. This is a very, very familiar passage. And if you remember the song that we just sang and you saw Jesus reaching down and picking Peter up out of the water, well, that's where we're going. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verses 22. Through 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. The scripture here is very clear. It says from verse 22. Immediately He made disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He sent the crowds away. After He had sent the crowds away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out His hand and took hold of him. And He said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. A couple of things I want us to think about here when we're talking about forgotten faith, because this story is a very real story. This happened. This is a reality. And it's also a reality in our lives. I want you to look at verses 24 and verse 30. In verse 24, it says, "But the boat was already a long distance from the land, and it was battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary." And then in verse 30, it says, "But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink." How many of you have seen the wind and the waves in your life? The storms of life around us, and things are in a whirlwind, and we feel like we're going under at any moment. How many of you have found yourself in a place where an accident has put you at a place where you are no longer in control and you can't see your way out of it, where things have come against you and all of a sudden you have a trepidation about yourself because you can't find the end to this thing? The storms of life are real, and each and every one of us experiences them. We cannot get away from them. We cannot get around them. But we will, in Christ Jesus, get through them. And that's the reality. But it's during these times when these strong winds are blowing, when life is coming at us, that something creeps in. And that something is called fear. And many people tell me, oh, but Pastor, I'm not afraid. Really? Do you want to admit that to God? We know we are a fearful people because we are temporal. And the older you get, the more you fear, because the older you get, the closer you get to the punching your ticket. Amen? How many of us would like another day or two added to the end of our ticket? Okay? It's so amazing to me because I have heard many, many people say to me, oh, I'm ready to go at the next drop of a hat. I've said it to my wife, but I'll guarantee you I cling to life every day because I enjoy life. I don't fear death, but am I willing to jump into it right now? The answer to that question is no, because of who we are and what we are. Jesus feared nothing. Could he have feared anything if he'd endured the cross? The reality is that very fight took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he didn't run away from it. For he who is God had to wrestle, just as we have to wrestle, with that very fear. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that his sweat was as drops of blood falling to the ground. That's a hemorrhaging that you and I will never, ever have to know. And if we ever did know it, we would die from it. But because he is God, and it says, and angels attended him, you do understand he had a supernatural healing right there. That's what made him get through. He finally allowed his will to be broken. And that's what we need to do in these storms of life, because it's during these storms of life that we forget our faith, because we see the waves, we see the wind, we hear the howling, we feel the burning of people's words and the things that come at us. How many of us here can think right now in a moment's notice of the negativity that we have experienced in just this past week? For the last week, I have been telling my wife, I don't want negativity in my house anymore. We'll start talking about something, and I'll say, stop, no more negative. And I'm as guilty of it as she is. And she'll tell you that because I will start saying stuff. And I'll say, we're done with that. We're done with that. No more negativity. No more negativity. Because negativity forgets faith. Negativity forgets and negates the fact that God's graces and mercies are fresh and new each and every morning. Negativity pushes us away from the goodness and the glory and the comforts of God and into a world that we feel like we have to control. How many of you feel like you have to control everything in your life? Well, if I don't do this, it's not going to get done. Well, gee, if you don't do it and it doesn't get done, does it really need to get done? The older I get, the more I'm realizing things that I worry about, I shouldn't have worried about, and the things I didn't worry about, those are the things I should have worried about. We forget what is good. We forget what is right. We forget what is noble. And I think every one of those topics that I just spoke on there is what God tells us to think on. And we forget because we're still stuck in this body. The book of Romans tells us that we are to renew our minds in Christ Jesus because the old ways need to disappear. Okay? Now, I think it's funny because how many of you can remember how long it took you to walk as an infant? We just get up and do it, right? We just get up and do it. How easy was it for you to just get up and do it after being in the hospital for several months, Dan?
Tough.
How easy is it for you to just do it right now with your broken body? This life is fleeting and everything in it. And it's during those times that we can forget our faith and we can begin to look down upon ourselves. Miss Dottie, how's your neck?
It feels wonderful today.
Praise Jesus. We anointed her with oil the other night after missions in the parking lot at ours. Her healing is here. But we have to remember our faith and forget the things of this world to receive it. When we walk in the things of this world, we allow those things to have control over us. Look at what happened to Peter. He's out there. He's literally walking on the water, and all of a sudden he sees the wind. Now, I need to ask you something. How can you see the wind? You cannot see the wind. You can see the effect of the wind. Okay? We need to remember, we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities of this dark age. We need to remember that the battle that we are in is an eternal battle. It is a spiritual battle, and the spiritual evil of this world wants us to forget who and whose we are and how we are to live our lives. For we live by faith, not by sight. I think it's amazing. Peter had enough faith to say, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Because he knew without the anointing of God, he knew without the power of God, he could do nothing. But in the word of God, he could do all things. And he started doing it. He's walking on the water. Now, I don't know how far he got. But evidently, he was a ways away from the boat. So he had to be out there so far, all right? It's not like he stepped out and went down. He stepped out and was walking towards the Lord because evidently he was fairly close, because when he started to go down, all he did was holler, Jesus! And right there he was and pulled him up. We're going to talk about that next time when we talk about conforming faith, okay? But right now, I want us to talk about what happened to him from the time he got out of the boat till he started to sink. He's walking by faith. How many of you walk by faith? I walk by faith all the time. That's a lie. I walk by faith most of the time. That's a lie. I walk by faith some of the time. Because I'm still stuck in this flesh. My mind has not been completely renewed, okay? I still have a problem differentiating between the spiritual and the temporal, because I am a temporal being as yet. I have one foot in the kingdom. Can I get an amen? But I still have one foot stuck in this world because I'm still stuck in this flesh and I'm still breathing this air. So it's a fight that I'm going to have to fight, and I need to remember God in his infinite wisdom told Israel, do this in remembrance of me, do this in remembrance of me, do this in remembrance of me. He constantly told them to be doing things and reminding one another of the things that God did. And the scripture tells us in the Old Testament, and they forgot God, and they forgot God, and they forgot God. And what happened to Israel? They went into exile. They were defeated. And God is rebuilding Israel. Do you know what's happening in Israel right now? We don't get this news here in America, but it is coming across the internet, and it is a phenomenal thing. More and more and more, as Israel is being filled up with all these Jews that are coming back into the land, more and more and more of these Jewish people are becoming Messianic Jews. They are being converted to Christianity. They are finding their Messiah, and it is changing the face of Israel even now. It is a phenomenal thing that is happening over there in the Promised Land. And it is something that we need to remember, because these people are beginning to remember. Remember, please remember, Israel, the Jewish nation, is not the Jewish nation, but the Jewish peoples, because we need to remember there's two different things. The Jewish peoples, the line of Jacob, the line of Abram, are God's chosen people. We are the ingrafted adopted children. And the awesome thing is, as adopted children, we have full access to the Father. We are full children of the Father. He does not see us as the second best. He sees us as his best. For we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, just as Israel has to be covered in Jesus Christ. Because right now, everyone, past, present, and future, has had to come through the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And that's where we are. But we get lost in this. And people say to me, well, Pastor, you know, that's one story that talks about that. Do you know there are at least two others that come to my mind? And the first is in the book of James, where Peter denies Jesus. He's standing out there and you know, they're getting ready to try Jesus, right? And rather than saying, yes, I'm one of his followers, he denies Jesus three times, and then the rooster crows. Peter forgot his faith. If God was, or John forgot his faith, if God was able to make Peter walk on water, do you think he'd been able to keep John from being harmed? Beg pardon? Peter. It was the book of John, it is Peter. Yeah, same guy. Sorry, Marion, thank you. I'm getting my books and people mixed up. Book of John, it's John 18 if you want to know where that is. And Peter denies Jesus. He forgot his faith again. How many of you recognize Peter in your life? Yeah. And it's funny to me also, because then the next one that comes to my mind is a very similar setting to this one. And Jesus is sleeping in a boat, and there's a storm raging around them. And rather than looking to the one who's in the boat and being comforted that God's right there with them, they're worried about the stupid storm. And they wake him up and say, "We're about to die." And he just says, "What's wrong with you? Don't you know who I am?" And he talks to the wind and the waves, and the storm dies immediately. We need to remember whose we are. In the midst of the storms of life, in the midst of the trials that are going to come against us, in the midst of the hard times, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. I swear to you, I'm still alive this day because I called upon the name of the Lord. I should be dead 7 times, and I'm not. Now, the first time it happened, I didn't call upon the name of the Lord. In fact, the second time it happened, I didn't call upon the name of the Lord because the Lord was teaching me. But the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, every time I called upon the name of the Lord. And I'm standing here before you whole, and I can walk rather well. And they told me I shouldn't be able to walk, and if I could walk, I would use a walker or canes or what have you. I think it's funny because I take these guys out in the mountains, and I almost walk Chuck into a heart attack. You all laugh. Chuck wasn't laughing that day. Wayne looks at me and says, "Would you please stop?" And I'm like, "Wait a minute. I'm the one who has asthma. I'm the one who had, and you're healthy, and you tell me to stop? You're younger than me." God is good.
All the time.
When we remember faith, faith moves us. We can't move faith. Faith moves us. The second point that I want you to remember is something that I think most of us overlook in this truth that we're given. And it comes to us from verse 26. It says, "When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'Is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear." Do you realize that when we forget our faith, when we have left our faith and we're standing in human reason and we're trying to power it ourselves and the stuff around us has got us, do you realize we can't recognize God? Did I just read that? Did they not know who Jesus was? I think it's neat because at another two places in Scripture, in the book of Mark and in the book of John, they both record it this way. And Jesus was about to pass them by. Now, I want you to understand something, okay? That is a Hebrew idiom, okay? When Moses was up on the mountain and God hid him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand over him, and it says, and God passed him by, okay? In other words, he was getting ready, they were getting ready, God was getting ready to give Moses a holy experience, okay? That's the same thing that was going on here. Jesus was about to pass them by. He was about to give them a holy experience, a holy revelation. He was about to show himself to them in a very real way. We need to be careful because when we forget our faith, God is going to be moving. And if we don't have eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see, we will miss him. We will not be able to recognize him. And when we don't recognize him, when we don't acknowledge him, when we don't call out to him, does he do things in our lives? No. God is not an oppressor. He wants us to call out to him. And it's so neat because here's these guys and they're crying out in fear. And he says, whoa, it's me. Don't be afraid. We need to remember that in the midst of that fear, when the stuff around us is falling down, when it's gotten this high, okay, and we're underwater, we still have a rescue. And you need to be looking up. Amen? Don't look around at your circumstance, okay? I think it's funny. Because the cross has two pieces. It's got a long straight bar and a short sidebar. We need to remember, keep accounts out here short, but make this your main focus. This, yeah, we need to see what's happening around us to a point. This is where we need to focus. Up and down, between him and us. This stuff, he'll take care of. That's why he was on that cross. This stuff, that's our business. We need to look at it and get it right. When Jesus was about to pass them by, he got their attention and they were able to focus on him. And when they focused on him, how many people were in that boat? There were 12 people in that boat. Aren't there 12 disciples, 12 apostles? There were 12 people in that boat. How many of them were affected to the point that they were actually able to see and walk in their faith? All it takes is one. Are you going to be that one? In your life, you have to be that one, okay? I can't be that one for you. You have to be that one. If you're going to experience God's healing, if you're going to experience God's grace, if you're going to experience God's compassion, if you're going to experience God's wonder, you have to be the one. I can't be it for you. Through other people's experiences, we can say, as the apostles did, surely this is the Son of God. But did they get the experience? Could they hold it? Could they hold it in their hands and say, this happened to me? Or can they say, yeah, I watched that happen, or I heard that this happened? But when it's yours, that becomes your experience, doesn't it? It becomes your testimony. Guess what? The scripture is very clear. It says, and they were won by the power of their testimony. You need to remember your testimony is one of the strongest things God gives you to help lead others to him. When they are in doubt, when others are in that life's storm, you can help them by giving them your testimony, and your testimony will lead them to the place of beginning to experience God for themselves. Right now, today, I could ask any one of you to give me a testimony. Give me a testimony where God worked in your life, where God did something in your life, and you would be brain dead. Because when I pick on people like that, the first thing they do is freeze, right? Right now, you're all thinking, oh, yeah, well, but as soon as I point at you, you'd be like, oh, and you'd forget. Isn't it you forget is that you're on the spot. The awesome thing is when we are walking in the Spirit, when we allow the Spirit to flow through us, we don't have to remember. God's promise is don't worry what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words in that time. How many of you remember that? Don't you wish we would remember it all the time? Because if we did, we would never worry about speaking to a person. I have talked to so many of you about, well, I don't know what to say. Well, duh. Shut up. Let God talk through you. What do you think happens up here every Sunday? I told Lynn last night, okay, I'm going through my sermon. Last thing I do on Saturday night is go through my sermon. And I was going through my sermon. And normally I tell her, stay away from me, get away from me, don't talk to me, okay? Don't interrupt me, la, 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 la. So last night she's out reading a book, and I come out, and I sit down, and she puts her book down, and she says, were you done? I said, no, I needed to come out here and clear my mind, because I need to make sure what I'm going to say or what I'm thinking is from God and not Rich. There are times when we need to get out of the way so we can see God. We need to remember that when we are working in and of ourselves, it's hard for us to see God. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what happened right here. But when we are willing to get out of the way, we will hear that voice. Don't be afraid. It is I. And it's a still small voice. He doesn't speak it loudly. He speaks it softly and in very loving tones. Because he wants us to trust him. Because he wants to pass us by. He wants to do the miraculous in our lives. He wants to give us a holy experience. He wants to reveal himself in very real ways. It only happens when we stay focused on him. The scripture says, let us set our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Whew, that's Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen? So in the midst of your trials and your troubles, are you going to remember Christ or are you going to see the troubles and the trials? When Dottie gave me that song, Jesus Messiah, I sat for an hour and literally worshiped God. Tears were flowing. The as Dottie calls them, God bumps, were all over the place. And I just, man, that was just an amazing hour. And you can ask Lynn, I had it playing on my computer so loud she could hear it out in the kitchen and in the living room. She said, I like that song. I said, yeah, so do I. And I'm singing it as loud as I could, so you can imagine it was horrible. But we need to remember and not forget. We forget our faith far too often because we allow the things of this life to overwash us, to overcome us. But we have the power in Christ Jesus to overcome all things. But we need to remember him. We need to stop what we're doing. How easy is that, folks? How easy is it when you're in the midst of something hard to stop, walk away for just a moment, and say, Lord, forgive me. What do you want? What are you trying to teach me? Because we have forgotten Hebrews chapter 12, where it tells us, we have forgotten the word of God, which calls us as sons. For those he loves, he disciplines. Remember the hardships in our lives. It's not that you've done something wrong. I had to explain this to Russell just the other day. Hi, Skeeter. I know, I pray he's watching. They're down at the shore right now. I had to explain to him, God's discipline doesn't mean he's beating you, okay? It doesn't mean you've done something wrong and you're being spanked or grounded or whatever, okay? I am a disciplinarian, all right? I set strict rules for the church. Why? Because God has set them. And we, the elders, are responsible to carry them out. It's called discipline. To walk in a Christian fashion is called discipline. And God disciplines his children. He walks in a strict manner. There are ways that are right and ways that are wrong. He wants us to walk in the ways that are right. So when God's disciplining us, he's keeping us within his safe bounds. And I'm going to talk to you teenagers right now. Do you like your parents' discipline? This one over here is just kind of like, The thing of it is, when you become a parent, the things that you said you're never going to do to your children, you're going to do. Yes, you will. Because we have to discipline. Discipline does not mean beat on someone. Discipline means set boundaries and then hold them. So when God is disciplining us, he's showing us his love. He's making us be dependent upon him. He's showing us that if we walk outside of these bounds, we're going to be harmed. So he's going to allow the hard things to come against us to keep us inside. Not because he's forcing us, but because he knows what's out there. If we get out there and too far away from him, we will go down and we won't be there and he won't be there to rescue us because we will be too far away. I'm talking spiritually here now. God wants us to stay close. And my final points are this, and this is 30b and 31 and 33. 30b says, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And then from 33, and those, or from 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Like I said, I have no idea how far away the boat was. But could you imagine the disciples that were in that boat who didn't get out of the boat and they saw Peter going down and then they saw Jesus bringing him back up and then the two of them walked to the boat and crawled in? My question is, why'd they get in the boat? Why didn't they just walk to the land? That would have been neat. They didn't walk to the land because God wanted to give those who were there who didn't experience it the opportunity to address him. When we get to the end of our rope, tie a knot. Okay? When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot. How many of you have ever heard that? That way you don't fall off, right? I'm going to tell you right now, when you get to the end of your rope, jump. Don't tie a knot, jump. Because there's where you'll meet God. When you get to the end of you, when you get to the end of you, that's where you meet God. How many of you are tired of getting to the end of you? That's a process, and it hurts, and it sucks. Why do we continue to go through the process? Why can't we just get to the end? Why can't we just go right to God the Father? Why can't we be the people of faith that we're supposed to be and just say, Lord God, right now, I give up. It's yours. Take it, all of it. Whatever it comes out to be, I give it to you, and that's where I let it. But we got to fret and worry and fuss and muss and then everybody else has to hear about it. But in the hearing about it, that's where we, who are a little bit stronger in our faith, because remember, a person who is still hanging onto their rope, needs to be encouraged to let go. I think it's funny because I was looking for the picture. I really was. I was looking for the picture of this person that was at the end of the rope, and they're screaming, "Help me, help me, help me." And there's this guy standing next to him, and they're like 6 inches off the ground. Come on. But the first picture, you see this guy just hanging on the end of a rope, right? You don't see that he's 6 inches off the ground. How many of us are there? We're 6 inches off of the ground. God's just waiting for us to take that step. But because we don't have the spiritual eyes to see what God's doing, because we miss God because of our circumstance and our attitude and our emotional position, we don't see that our rescue is but right there. Right there. It's like walking through a door. Are you willing to walk? I pray that you are. The church has forgotten a portion of its faith, and we're guilty of it too. Part of our faith, three parts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and with all your soul. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. And the third, go. Go ye into all the world. And what? Make disciples. That's what we're told to do. It's not going, it's make disciples. But how do you make disciples? By going. I'm going to ask the church today. I told you all I was going to ask the church today. If we will remember our faith. If we will be who we say we are, the Heart of Christ Church, loving God, loving others, and going with the gospel. That means all of us going. All of us going. I have four people in the congregation that aren't here today that told me when I asked this question, they are standing. Okay? I have four people who are already standing, and I need to ask you the question, will you go? Will you stand for Jesus Christ? Will you go out into the community? Will you remember your faith? Will you stand up now, and will you go and be the church of Jesus Christ? Will we remember what we've been called to do? If you will, stand up. You've given your answer. Amen. There's five standing that aren't here. We need to remember. Because when we don't remember, we forget. And when we forget, we can't recognize God. The amazing thing is, as we go, those who don't know him will see him in those who are standing right now. In just a few short weeks, we're going to be bringing Mitch in to do a training for the church. We're going to learn what we need to do and how we need to do it. And then we're going to take a time of 3 weeks for prayer. And during that time, your elders are going to get together and we're going to lay out the plan of where we're going to go and what we're going to do, the first place that we're going to be. And then as we do that, we're going to put out the inquiry, who is willing to go, so we know how many people we can get out and put out. And it's only going to be once a month, folks. It's not going to be, you know, every week or something like that. It's going to be once a month during the good months of the year. However, I'm asking you to go as you are living, because that's what that scripture says. As you are living, go. Take the word of God with you and share with those you come in contact with. It's not just going as church, but going on your own life. We need to be the church. We need to remember our faith. Because a forgotten faith is a useless faith. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for each of these that is here this day and has stood up and said, yes, we have considered, Lord, and we will go. We will make disciples. Father, I thank you for the heart of this church, because it's your heart. It's not my heart. It's not the heart of any individual here. It's your heart. Father, I thank you for the four people, five people now, who are standing with us in absence. And that would be Jen and Wendell and Rick and Virginia and Eva. Lord, I thank you for their hearts that they see and know too. Lord, as we hear this word, may we remember our faith in the times of trial and in the places where we don't know what to say. May we remember, Lord, that you have given us these promises and you'll not be found a liar. So as we go, may we go in the full power of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord, who has given us all glory and power in his name through the Holy Spirit who lives in us and is our God. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.